Welcome to Going Mental. This is your host, Eileen Kelly. I'm interested in the things many of us face but don't always talk about. After spending 5 months at McLean Hospital working on my mental health, I'm back. A little more insightful and with plenty of stories to share. Expanding on my usual topics of sexuality and intimacy, this season takes into account everything I learned during my stay. I'll be bringing together a wide range of guests, some beloved, some contentious, to discuss work, love, and the bizarre phenomenon that is modern life. Join me as we try to make sense of it all.
Hey listeners, today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Their platform can help you build a website, claim a domain, and even start selling things online. So since Tumblr is dead, I suggest that you head over to Squarespace to create your own blog. Are you feeling depressed today? You can blog about it. Picked up a new hobby or craft during quarantine? You can sell your creations online. Do you take photos or video? You can create an interactive display of your work. It's super easy to use. Trust me, even I can do it, as technologically challenged as I am. You know what they say, websites are the new resume. So head over to squarespace.com/goingmental for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code GOINGMENTAL to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. On today's episode, I'm joined by model Allie Michael. She has graced the covers of publications such as Vogue and Harper's Bazaar and walked for brands including Chanel, Dior, and Marc Jacobs. In 2008, her struggle with an eating disorder became front page news when she was sent home from Paris Fashion Week for being told she had gained weight. I would love to hear about your childhood growing up in Texas.
Yes. Yeah, so I grew up in a place called Grapevine, Texas, which is a suburb outside of Dallas-Fort Worth. It's closer to Fort Worth, which is also known as like Cowtown. It's like more low-key and less like built up than Dallas is. I was obsessed with horses. That was kind of my thing. Went to the mall, went to Walmart, hung out with friends. Like it was pretty standard American, I guess.
Yeah. Do you feel like growing up in Texas has had a lasting impact on you and like your personality?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just talking to someone about this, that everyone from Texas like has such a specific Texas-ness like or something that's like like ingrained in their being. And I guess I have that because I mean it definitely it's part of my history and I spent so much time there and my family is from there and everything. A lot of them are still in Texas and there's a lot of like conservatism going on there, which I don't identify with, but has been like a part of my history as far as like my surroundings and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think that even just like growing up with so much space, And even just growing up in the suburbs where I really didn't have that much access. Like now I live in LA, I just moved here like a year ago. And it's so interesting because I'm surrounded by so many people who grew up in Los Angeles. And I know a lot of people who grew up in New York as well. And it's like such a radically different way to be a kid. Like my boyfriend is from LA and grew up going to like, I don't know, like he just had so much more access to like weird shit. And I was kind of, I mean, I ended up, which I'm assuming we'll get into later, but I ended up like kind of leaving when I was like 16 to start modeling. But up until then, I honestly went to the mall and went to Walmart.
Those were your outings or like your weekend activity?
Yeah, like every weekend was going to Grapevine Mills Mall and like watching boys at the skate park and like seeing a movie. Like that was kind of it. And then eventually it was like making out in your car at Grapevine Lake. Like that was sort of like the extent of the access that I had. I was also quite, my dad was pretty strict. So I didn't even attempt to break any rules. I'm sure that like other kids maybe did some weird, well, other kids definitely did some weird shit, but
like what kind of weird
shit? I don't know, just like I never went to a high school party, but
oh,
that's
really?
Yeah, which is like really it's complicated because my dad was very strict growing up. He like used to be an undercover narcotics detective in Detroit in the 60s. So he's like a hardcore dude. So I didn't disobey him, kind of. But then once I started modeling, I was like so
thrust into the underworld.
Well, yeah, but I was also like, I think I grew up with such like a sense of like responsibility. I needed to be well behaved in order to like move forward, kind of, if that makes sense. I think that once I started modeling, like my responsibility funneled into that. So I was very like, I never drank, I never did any drugs, even though I had so much, especially when I started modeling, I really had access to all of those things. Mm-hmm. But I never did it because of a few different reasons. One being that I had an eating disorder. So I was paranoid to like drink and be puffy. Like I was just like really very paranoid about that. And I also was like working for Teen Vogue all the time and like needing to be on my best behavior so that I would like not fuck up this chance that I had. And I think that I grew up in ways being quite a perfectionist. And again, I kind of funneled that into modeling also because I just like wanted to be very professional and like never do anything wrong, basically, which ended up being like, I mean, modeling is like something that, especially at that time, kind of like required so much submission anyway, that it ended up snowballing into a larger issue.
Yeah, that kind of like overtook your life.
Totally. Yeah.
When you talk about being a perfectionist, do you feel like you've had those tendencies since you were like a child?
Yeah, for sure. I kind of like shut down in a way when I was young and became like almost mute. I was like very shy, like really quiet in school. Like my heart would pound if I got called on, which is maybe kind of normal, but I just had so much anxiety about speaking. And I think that I put so much pressure on myself to do well that like I kind of like shut myself down so that there was no chance that I could fail because I wasn't even putting myself out. It's complicated.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I think about that concept a lot of like, yeah, people, I don't know, just something we come up against as humans, like this idea of failure, this idea of success. And it's like, okay, if I have a lot of anxiety and I just don't even try or don't even do this thing, I don't risk the failure, the embarrassment or the shame.
Yes, that was very much like, in ways I tried like academically, I made an effort and stuff like that. But I think like, as far as like being a vulnerable human being, I was quite shut down. And then I just like focused on doing well in school and being like on good behavior or whatever. And then, you know, when I started modeling, that perfectionism
manifested kind of, like tenfold.
Totally. And yeah. And even like with the eating disorder, because I basically got like, I kind of got scouted, but really my friend's mom told me that I should go meet with this modeling agency in Dallas. And I thought that she was insane because I like was not regarded as a hot girl or like attractive at all. This was also like 2004, 2005 in Texas. And I was like pale and quiet and like a horse girl and like had big eyebrow. I don't know. I was just like not the vibe at that time, you know?
I wonder if the like early mid 2000s vibe is like, I'm thinking of even like what was big Victoria's Secret that time, like big boobs and like.
Yeah, it was.
The guest girls vibe.
Totally. And like thin eyebrows and tan. I don't know. I was just like not hot at my school. So I was very confused by it, but I ended up, she like urged me to do it. So I went and I met with them and I was 14 and they had told me that I had braces at the time, and they had a model search every year, and they were having it in like 6 months from then or something. And they told me that I should enter the model search when it happened in 6 months. And by that time I was meant to have my braces off, and that in the meantime, I would have to lose, like, they took my measurements and they said I would have to lose, like, I think it was like 3 inches off my hips and my waist.
How old were you?
14.
That's so psycho.
Yeah. And before that, I had honestly had zero consideration of the way that my intake of food affected my body. Like, I had just never even thought about it. Because by Texas standards, I was considered, like, I mean, I really didn't even think about this, but I was like tall and thin-ish, you know. I wasn't like, I was just kind of like average, and I just didn't ever consider food, and I ate shit all the time. Like, I grew up eating fast food, like foot-long hot dogs from Sonic with a chocolate shake and a side of tater tots, like insane, and which is not great, but I just had no, I like didn't even do that mathematical equation of what that ended up like manifesting as in my body. But that felt sort of like an assignment to me, to lose 3 inches off my waist and my hips. And I was just like that day I just became obsessed, and I didn't really like, I was so on like the unhealthy side of the spectrum and like fast food and stuff, that it didn't like overnight turn into a full-fledged eating disorder. But I stopped eating like everything that I ate, kind of, and started ordering like salads or whatever. And then eventually it just got kind of like more and more severe. And I ended up entering that modeling search and won it. And so I kind of got like rewarded for that effort.
Was it Texas wide, or like what was
it? It was kind of from wherever in the nation. There were a lot of people that would like, it was at the mall, and there were a lot of people that would drive in from Arkansas or Oklahoma, because it was a reputable modeling agency, and like people who had won it in the past had done really well.
And so what happened from there? Like, you won the competition. Did you model for a while in Texas? Did you go to New York?
Yeah. So I won the model search when I was 15 in 2005, and I worked pretty well in the local circuit. There were like random jobs there. Also, I think it was JCPenney was based there. So I would work for JCPenney. I did like a pillowcase ad or something. It was like very weird stuff.
I hope you still have those photos.
I don't. I have some really insane photos, but I do not have those. Maybe my mom does somewhere. But so that was the scale that I started in. And then they had built this new mall in Dallas called North Park. And they would hold fashion shows in the mall, where like Kohl's would have like a fashion show on the runway in the mall, or like Urban Outfitters or whatever. And it was like a big deal in Dallas, like at the modeling agency. And I was always told that I was never going to be able to do the runway shows at the mall because I was too short and like my body type wasn't right for it. So I did end up beating the odds and doing a few mall runway shows, but it wasn't really like my forte. But anyway, I ended up like in the print world, I did do really well in that market. And then I had some interest from a few agencies in New York. So my mom and I, over spring break when I was 15, flew to New York, and we met with kind of all of like the top agencies. And I ended up signing with DNA at the time, which is an agency in New York, and started working for Teen Vogue like that week. And it just kind of like took off from there.
Did you stay there? Did you stay in New York or you went back to Texas?
I was there for like a week on that trip, and I just like signed with them and did a couple of shoots and castings and stuff. And then I flew back to Texas. I was still in school at the time. And I think at that point I would like miss school for specific shoots for maybe like a day or something. But for the most part, I was in Texas. And then when things really shifted, it was during Fashion Week, because my agency wanted me to come out for Fashion Week. And I had no expectations. Also, my body was like continuously an issue with, like, it was always something that needed to be worked on, I was told. So I was like losing more and more weight, especially when it came to the shows. I was told that because I was short, I'm like 5'8" and a half, 5'9"-ish. And so they said that since I was so short for runway, that I had to make up for it in my body by like being thinner. And there were like things about my body that were pointed, like unbeknownst to me, there were just like so many things wrong that I needed to like either hide or like work on or whatever.
And do they say that to your face?
Yes. Or it's crazy shit. So
it's
insane.
It's so insane to me, because I wonder if like the like that feels like really peak that culture too, like 2000s. Like I feel like now, obviously that still happens, and I think it happens a lot in Europe, maybe more so than in the US right now. Mm-hmm. But like, it's just so wild to me that they can just literally like rip you apart in front of your face. Like, I can't imagine like the lasting psychological damage.
Yeah. I mean, it's wildly different now than it was then, because then it was like, I mean, social media didn't exist for one thing. So no one had any
leverage.
Yeah. Or like, Who would you report it to? You know, it was like you were kind of at the agencies. You kind of had to obey them, or else they were just going to drop you. And because social media didn't exist, which I think has changed the industry immensely in ways that are weird and also ways that are really to everyone's benefit, because basically the industry was such like a small exclusive bubble that if you didn't want to like play the game, you would just get kind of kicked out, and they'd be like, okay, well, there's a billion other girls who will do it. So like, you know, you were very disposable, and you just had nowhere to speak. Like, being a model is still this way to a certain extent, but you were really just like supposed to be kind of a totally submissive doll,
like a mannequin. Yeah. Literally just to show the clothes.
Totally. I was going to New York to do the shows. I had like prepared by losing weight or whatever. I went to all of my teachers and got all of my, I like told them that I was going to be gone for a week and a half. So I like did all of my work ahead of time, submitted it to them. And I went to New York and had like very low expectations because of all the shit everyone had said, kind of. But I ended up doing really well unexpectedly and getting booked for Mark by Marc Jacobs, which was showing in London that year. So I went from New York to London, and then I got booked for stuff in Paris. So then I ended up being gone for like essentially a month unexpectedly. And it was like insane. Like I don't really follow that world anymore of like runway and stuff, but at least back then, every season there would be a few new girls who just sort of like seemingly randomly would get chosen. It's so bizarre, because like at the castings, it would just be like a sea of girls who like were all beautiful or unique, you know, like it could have just been anyone, but somehow for some reason, a few would be chosen and a lot of the rest would just like never make it. It's really weird. But I ended up being sort of one of the ones who got chosen, and it just like took off and was insane. And then I went back to Texas afterwards and was told that I had missed too much school, like by law. Cause there was like, even though I had kept up with all of the work, there was some law in Texas about having to be like in the actual physical school chair a certain amount of time. And I had surpassed the allowance of not being in school. So they basically kicked me out and I ended up doing school through correspondence. And then that allowed me to just never be home. Cause then like after the shows, everything just like popped off and I was constantly flying to Paris and to London. I flew to Japan, like all over the place.
And how old were you like at this point?
16.
So you're still underage.
Yeah. And my mom would come with me on trips overseas, but I would work in Los Angeles sometimes and I would go there alone sometimes.
Did you feel like there was ever a shift in almost like your identity or how you viewed yourself? I just imagine like going from like, okay, I'm an average high school, like at a big high school in Texas, and then overnight, I'm like walking the catwalk at some of the biggest brands. And like, I'm sure, you know, big casting directors, you're rubbing shoulders mm-hmm. with like a lot of wild people. Mm-hmm. And like, you're at such a young age.
I don't know. I mean, I think that a part of me felt really like I was so in my head because I had a really intense eating disorder. And honestly, like, so much of my time was spent in a reel going over like food and how I was gonna like, which was really insane, but like I was very not present in my life because of that, because I was like so obsessive. It was kind of like an OCD thing, which I've had in my life since I was a little kid, and it just went to that and it was just like reeling.
The loop. Oh yeah, I know that loop.
Yeah. So I think that that like kind of interfered with me being that present, which is an aspect of it. But yeah, I don't know. I think that I also like at the time I didn't feel like heartbroken about not being in Texas or anything like that. Like I dated the same person. I had one boyfriend from freshman year through senior year. So we were together through like this whole period of time. And because I left so much, he ended up being kind of like, and also like other people at school got weird because I was suddenly like, I was like so irrelevant before and then kind of like made fun of when it started because people were like, why the fuck is she modeling? Like, you know? And then once I like actually was successful, people like were interested in me in this way that made me uncomfortable because it just felt so inauthentic. Mm-hmm. And I felt kind of like alien. So my boyfriend at the time was sort of like the only anchor that I had to home, kind of. He was like the only person that I really like interacted with that much.
Like this constant in your life.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about like this idea of like a, or not even idea, how eating disorders can like take over your entire life and psyche, you know, like it's all you think about, like you just explained, like it becomes a constant loop of like counting calories or mm-hmm. however it manifests. And like not never feeling satisfied, which to me feels like really OCD because it's like no matter how like someone who has obsessive compulsive disorder about germs and then they're like washing their hands mm-hmm. a million times a day, but like it just restarts the loop. It's never enough, never enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because I do not restrict my eating now anymore. I've like really my relationship to that and like my physical body has really been renegotiated and rewired. So I don't feel that I have an eating disorder anymore. I do have a tendency to like obsess about things still sometimes. So it's interesting that we're talking about this, because I think it can apply to so many different things. It can be I had a washing my hands thing when I was really little, like obsessively washing my hands. And then other obsessive things. And then it became food. And I've recently been encountering it in other ways of I've explained it recently as sort of this incessant doing of a mathematical equation, like above my head. Like I feel like I can sometimes exist like above my body, like above my head, like doing a mathematical equation to like try and solve something, if that makes sense. Like
almost like a bird's eye view, or?
Well, no, just like to alleviate an anxiety that I have, I'll be like, okay, so this and then that and then that and then that equals that, like to try and like solve something or something. I don't know if this makes sense,
it does.
I'm trying to like put my mind at rest by going through a reel, essentially, like an obsessive reel. But because I'm so out of my body and like my tangible reality, I get to the end of the equation and maybe I get to something, but it kind of doesn't have anywhere to land because I'm so like outside of my body. So then I just have to like back up and do the equation again. And that's like what the reel becomes, if that makes any sense at all.
I mean, the whole thing with OCD is it is an anxiety disorder.
Totally. I think it's just like, I mean, it's obviously not this simple at all, but I think that something that helps me is like descending into my actual body so I can be like, okay, what am I actually experiencing right now sensually, you know, and not like a cognitive idea. Anyway, I've been working recently on being more present, essentially, because I mean, that was certainly the most intense run of my kind of like departure from my body and being like present in my body. I was not really ever when I had the eating disorder so intensely. I did so many like amazing things and like went to incredible places and whatever. And I don't remember so much of it. I literally cannot fucking recall so much of it because I was so like obsessed and like obsessed with not only eating, but like, how are they perceiving me? Am I a disappointment? That's like my shit, you know, since I was a kid. It's like, am I disappointing them? Am I making their job hard by being problematic? You know, just like
the perception, like shit. Constant. How am I being seen by others?
Yes. And I still have this to a certain extent, but like a lot of like, am I burdening these people by being how I am? Just like a lot of fear of disappointing others. And so I think that like the eating disorder, like, yeah, it was an eating disorder and it had to do with food and my body and whatever. But like, I think that it's ultimately so much deeper than that, that like the food is really just like a very accessible manifestation of a deeper like turmoil.
How, so you said you've kind of reprogrammed, and I do want to get more into like, I would love to hear about your kind of that viral, you know, Paris Fashion Week, the being sent home and stuff, but also how did you, and like, maybe once we talk about that, like talk about how did you reprogram your relationship with food, and are you in therapy, and like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's complicated because it can't really be like attributed to one thing. I think like isolating anything from anything is so hard because like everything has to do with everything, you know? So like, whatever, but like I struggled with it deeply until I was like 28, probably. And I'm 31 now. And it wasn't like, it was definitely the most intense when I was young and like doing shows. I had lost a lot of weight and was like severely underweight at the lowest point. And then like when I was, I moving forward, I never like, I had definitely gotten skinny again, but it wasn't, I mean, when I was doing shows, I like did not eat and I was also bulimic. Like I didn't eat and I was bulimic at the same, it was like very gnarly and intense. And I never really revisited that severity after I was probably like 19 or 20. But I definitely had like a complicated relationship to food and my body until I was 28, I would say. And I think that what helped me rewire it was, again, it's sort of hard to explain, but I was like convinced that I was allergic to every single food that existed. Like I was convinced that I was allergic to grains and gluten and dairy and soy and nuts and like everything, because I literally kind of was, because when I ate them, I felt sick and like bloated and bad. So I was like convinced of all of this and I was constantly trying to figure out what would help me not feel like I looked puffy all the time or like whatever, you know? And I think that what I realized through a medley of different experiences and personal insight was that so much of my reactions to those foods were based in really dysfunctional beliefs about myself, if that makes sense. Like I had such a bad relationship with myself and resented myself so much and was so full of shame and judgment and all of this shit that I feel like it was kind of like clogging my system so that food, this is very abstract, but like I feel like the energy of that stuff was kind of clogging my system to the point where like food couldn't
nourish you.
Exactly. Because I had so much fighting it all the time. And when I began to reconfigure my relationship with myself, and eventually it was sort of like revealed to me through doing that, that I was like, oh, I'm actually fine. And like all of these beliefs about myself are totally dysfunctional. And I am interfering with myself being able to just like exist as I am. So anyway, like once I kind of began that process, like now I eat whatever. And I don't feel like I'm allergic to gluten, grains, dairy, nuts, you know, like, and that's not to dismiss those allergies because they're very real. But like in my case, so much of my interference was based in self-hatred and my body just rejecting nourishment, basically.
I feel like, you know, stress or like higher cortisol levels, like our mental health has such an effect on like our physical being. Literally like our body. Like I can imagine, you know, for years and years, if you weren't really eating or you were struggling with bulimia, there's a point where your body doesn't know how to accept food anymore.
Totally. I mean, I personally feel like there's really no separation between our bodies and our minds, which is interesting to think about, kind of like, which is kind of a different tangent, but like, it's cool because that means that you have a lot of access to like altering your relationship with yourself. Like I feel like you can do physical things to nourish yourself that can then be reflected in your mentality, you know, like that kind of like free up space in your mentality. And you can also do like a lot of work with your mentality through therapy or whatever that then like becomes reflected in your physicality. It's so interconnected.
No, for sure. And like your day-to-day life.
Totally.
I got diagnosed with ulcerative colitis when I was in middle school. And like I would have to go to the hospital all the time. I had to stay for like a week in eighth grade in the hospital. And they were like, you have ulcerative colitis. And then all through high school, I would go back in for like my appointment. And maybe my junior year, they were like, you don't have it anymore. And it's a chronic illness. And I was just misdiagnosed because I had stress. I was so stressed out from stuff that was going on in my family life that I had all these ulcers, but I was like 11, 12. They just hadn't seen it in such a young kid. So they diagnosed me and like put me on insane meds that fucked up my immune system for like years and years and years. But it just goes to show that literally your mental health or your stress levels can like actually like it was like my body was eating itself.
No, like 1000%. There is no separation between those things.
In your own words, do you want to kind of talk me through the experience, the one that went like really viral? I think it was like 2008, 2009.
I was doing the shows and I had done like two seasons, I think, and I was like still one of the top models or whatever, and I was doing all the shows. By that time I got down to like a very low weight and was being rewarded for it, basically. But I ended up, I actually, one of my agents at the time took me out. I came to New York for a job and she took me out to dinner, and she was like one of the people at the agency I like loved, and she loved me. Like we were like friends and she really cared about me. And I remember we went to dinner and she was like, dude, this is not right. I have a nutritionist that I want you to talk to. And so I started seeing a nutritionist, which was like difficult for me. I was my hair was thinning. Like I was unwell. I had lost a lot of weight. So I started working with a nutritionist, which was very difficult for me because I was entrenched in an eating disorder, but I started working with her. I ended up gaining a little bit of weight, and then I went to Paris. I flew to Paris and was just going to do the Paris shows. And basically the story is that I did one day of castings, and my agency at the time asked me to come in after the day of castings, because they wanted to talk to me. And they said that I had gained too much weight and that I was unusable for the shows. Like that the feedback that they had gotten from the casting directors was that I had gained too much weight and I was unusable. So they didn't want me to like continue going out. And they said a bunch of fucked up stuff. But I had already been confirmed for this one show by this designer who like loved me and I don't know, wanted me anyway. So they were like, you're going to do this one show and then you're going to fly home to Texas. So I did the one show and my mom was traveling with me and she was in the audience and she just like struck up a conversation with the woman sitting next to her at the show. They started talking and my mom was like, oh yeah, my daughter's in the show, but we're actually going home tomorrow and blah, blah, blah. And kind of gave her the gist of the situation, which was potentially an overshare, but whatever. And didn't think anything of it. I did the show. We flew home. 2 or 3 days later, on the front page of the international edition of the Wall Street Journal in the fashion section, there was this headline that was something like teenage model Allie Michael sent home from Paris for her legs being too fat. And it was not an article about me per se, but I became sort of the
poster child.
Like introductory. Yeah. The poster child for this larger issue. And it was insane, but for so many reasons, but like, because of the nature of the article, it appeared as though, which this wouldn't have even been fucked up if I had done this, but whatever, I didn't. Like, it appeared as though I had gone to this reporter for the Wall Street Journal and said,
I have a story for you.
Yes. And I literally didn't. It was my fucking worst nightmare. Like, I had a really intense eating disorder. I was already horrified by like gaining weight with the nutritionist. I was horrified by like being seen by casting directors and having gained weight. I was horrified by it being confirmed that I was undesirable to them for gaining weight. I did not want to fucking have this thing blow up in the news. Like, that was, I was not seeking that. But basically, there was no mention of the nature of how the story came about. So this was before social media. So there was this forum called the Fashion Spot. That was like this like fashion gossip website forum. And there were like blogs, like all of these blogs wrote about it. And a lot of the, like a common tone of people kind of like talking about it was that like, I shouldn't have bit the hand that fed me and all this stuff. And I was just like horrified because I didn't want any of it to happen. But and I was in Texas at the time, and it was crazy because like there were like news vans parked outside of our house and like knocking on the door. Our phone was ringing off the hook. It was insane. And it was on the news and stuff. So I was like really freaked out, obviously. And I was kind of like resigning to the idea that like this thing was over, because at that time, again, things have changed so immensely now, but like at that time, like no one was breaking the illusion that the fashion industry was presenting. It was also such a, like I said before, like such an exclusive contained bubble that was really like, and they really desired for it to stay that way. Like, there was very little access that people had unless you were in the fashion industry. So mm-hmm. like breaking the fourth wall of that was like not like you didn't do that. And like no one did that. And it was like not glamorous and like, you know, like whatever. So I was just like people were not talking about this at all. So I was just like, okay, well, I'm fucked. Like my career, or well, no, I probably did feel like I was fucked, but like my career is over. And I guess that's that and whatever. And I had a close relationship with Teen Vogue at the time. I had been on the cover like earlier that year. This happened in like March. And I was on the cover of Teen Vogue in February, so not that far before. But anyway, so the editor of Teen Vogue called me, Amy Astley, and she was just like offering her support and said that if I wanted to, she asked me if I would be interested in writing a story for the magazine about my experience and going with her on the Today Show. And I was just like, I said yes, because I was just like, if I'm going to get like canceled, wasn't a term that was really around then, but I was like, if I'm going to get like canceled from this world, I might as well like shed some light on how, on what's going on while I'm at it, you know, like go out with a bang kind of.
Well, also I imagine like have a little bit of autonomy and like control over your story image, like if it's being slapped across every freaking news outlet.
Yeah. Well, I think it's weird because I never like have publicly addressed like the nature, I don't think the nature of that article coming out. Like even when I wrote the Teen Vogue thing and like went on the Today Show, it was never discussed that like I didn't want that Wall Street Journal article to come out. I felt like I was just like, well, I'll just do this and like figure out what I'm going to do next, I guess. And just like have kind of like, like make this offering or something to the world to kind of like break the illusion. So I did that. I was 17. I think I was turning 18 the next day after I did the Today Show, I'm pretty sure. And it felt, it was really cool because it felt like it was just like what I wanted to do. I really, like wanted to present something that was real in this like world of bullshit,
yeah,
kind of, and like keeping up these appearances and I mean, there's so much that I could say about it. It's just like so, and again, it's changed so much. It was so insane back then, like what was desired.
Well, that's what I would also like, why do you even think the industry was so obsessed with being rail thin?
I mean, I think it's like really deep. I think it's like, it was so crazy because like, again, at that time, like the modeling industry and like the fashion industry as a whole was so exclusive and so like
elitist.
Yeah. And like, you could only get in if you were this, 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 and this, like they're like, all of the models were like really thin, like
emaciated,
white and under 18 years old, honestly. And that's fucking insane because it's just so crazy because models, you think like, it seemed like it was so far away and kind of like in its own world, and it was. But the reality is that like, even those images of like, yes, they kind of mostly exist in that bubble, but like they obviously trickle down into media and like everyone buys the magazines that it's just like so fucked up.
I mean, I remember I used to see your photos on Tumblr all the time.
Yeah.
Like I was a Tumblr girl in high school, but it just, to me, it's so insane. It's like, okay, why are they advertising to like, quote unquote, the average woman?
It makes no sense because like, and again, things have changed immensely, but at that time, like, I mean, I was like 16, 17. Everyone was like, no one was over 20 really. And like everyone, maybe not everyone, but a lot of girls were really struggling to keep their weight down. And there was a lot of pressure on them. So it's like, and you also weren't supposed to like, look like you were toned or fit. You were supposed to look like you were like sick kind of. And like, you were just supposed to be as thin as you could be. It was not about like looking healthy and being like prepubescent
and like look like you're literally like on heroin.
Yeah. And that, it was like such a struggle for the girls who were almost prepubescent to look like that. The notion that that was like the sort of like epitome of what was being projected as like what was the most desirable like goal physically is so demented. It's crazy.
Do you ever feel like, I don't know, resentment or just like weird feelings of how much the fashion industry has almost like swapped to the other side?
I don't. No, I think no, because I mean, I have a general trust and kind of like my entire timeline, you know? So like, I don't wish that I had been, I don't know. Like, I think that everything happened perfectly to inform my life's experience.
Yeah.
And I feel like every single thing that I experienced then and experience now and will continue to experience is sort of necessary to like facilitate the way that I'm unfolding, you know? So like, I think it's amazing that it's changed so much and that there's like space for humanness. And I think that's still like, I mean, that's complicated because like social media has also changed the industry in a way where like, you know, there's like another weird standard now that's like that people are held to. And it's, I don't know, it's like, it's complicated, but I do think that there is more like, I don't know, certainly like more of the scope of humanity is reflected in the industry, which is obviously how it should be, because fashion is for human beings, not like robots.
Yeah. And I'm sure you just, you don't wish like what you went through on any like young woman.
No, obviously. yeah. But like, yeah, I'm like so grateful that it's shifted so much.
Do you feel like your experience with like, I don't know, just the story, your story and like what we've talked about this whole episode has like impacted your self-esteem still today? Or like, do you feel like you have lasting kind of damage, I guess?
I mean, I think all of that stuff like informed the way that I am now, but I think that like this is something I've been like working out personally kind of quite recently, like is that modeling, it again, it's not quite this way so much anymore, but like when I was in it, and even, and I also took this on even before I started modeling, so it's like deep for me, but like I spent so much of my time being like sort of restricted and like restrained and on a specifically good behavior in order to like do well at, and even like with modeling, this isn't the case now, but like this is kind of like ingrained in me in a way, because like I couldn't like dye my hair. I had like a real lack of like experimentation in a lot of ways when I was young, because I had to be like, I couldn't experiment with my hair or like get my nails painted or like get a piercing or a tattoo. Like and that's not true. Like I could have done those things, but because of the like sort of like obsessive like professionalism or something, or like containment that I was like carrying with me into modeling, I really like didn't feel like I could do like, I feel like there's so much of like being a puppet in modeling and like being a figure that other people really project things onto. And while I have certainly like taken ownership of sort of my output as a person and have, and like even kind of like developed a like name kind of for doing that, like with Tumblr and stuff like that. Like I did find ways mainly through the internet where I could like project my own stuff. I do think that there's stuff in me that has to like rework, like really like being fully like liberated in what I actually want to present without like considering like how my agency might feel or whatever, like prioritizing my own like self over what other people are going to think about it or something, if that makes sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense. To me, it really gets at the point of like identity, like building your identity. If like your career and how you make money is like how your appearance or how people view you, then at what point can you even like, at what point do you even develop other parts of yourself?
Exactly. And even like, this is one example, but it's like deep. Like I didn't like try new foods because I was like, I can't make me bloated because what if I have a casting tomorrow? It's just like, it was this, and I've obviously worked through that in a lot of ways, but there is still like this like containment that I kind of feel echo through my life now. And I'm kind of like in this space of like dismantling that or something and like doing what I want to do, because I just spent so much of my life like feeling like I needed to please other people.
Do you feel like that trickled into like your romantic relationships or just like interpersonal friendships?
1000%. Yes.
Okay. So you're 31 now. Mm-hmm. Do you, and you, it sounds like you've like worked a lot of this. I mean, you come on the show and like you're extremely self-aware, which is great.
Thank you.
But do you see a therapist, or like how has the journey of like working on these things unfolded for you?
I mean, I think that like a few years ago, I kind of like took a break from everything and really did a lot of, not like under the supervision of anyone, but just like a lot of like emotional deep diving. And I kind of like untied a bunch of knots, I feel like, that way. And I actually just started seeing a therapist for really the first time, like a month, like I've maybe seen her for like 5 weeks or something.
Oh, damn.
And it's been really cool to have like a kind of like contained
space
to like workshop all of this stuff and get like some feedback on it. It's really cool. But I had an aversion to the idea of therapy because I had weird experiences when I was younger with like I had a therapist for the eating disorder who like reported stuff back to my agency, and it was just like it was like really weird. I don't know. It was a very long time ago, but I just had negative experiences. And also I had always thought like I do so much like kind of like unpacking on my own that I can be like, okay, like this happened and then that caused that. And then that led me here, and then, you know, I can kind of like map it out. So I was sort of like, I don't need a therapist. But my boyfriend is actually who suggested that I start talking to a therapist, because I was just kind of like struggling with stuff and just like in a loop kind of, and it's really helped me like work through some stuff.
Yeah, I think it's nice also that like therapists can give you kind of tools or almost help you like step out of that loop. Cause like,
totally,
I can definitely get stuck. I was literally in a loop last night, like at dinner, and I was like obsessing over something. And I was like, I know this doesn't matter, but I'm having a hard time like just stepping out of it.
Totally. Yes. Deeply understand the loop. I think many of us do.
I just want to touch on, and we did talk about it a little bit, but social media, like, do you ever feel like Instagram or social media like exasperated any of these issues, or you feel like it kind of came around when you were like already working out of them?
Oh, like the body stuff kind of?
I don't know, body identity, like I think our generation and like people who came up like just even in the past 8 to 10 years are going to be studied for like forever on like how the fuck is like Instagram and like TikTok literally changing our like psyche and the way that our like brains function.
Totally. Yeah.
Like, do you obviously use Instagram?
Yeah.
But like, do you, I don't know, take breaks from it ever? Do you feel like it doesn't really affect, like, are you still modeling? Like, what have you been up to for work?
Yeah. I'm still modeling, I moved to LA, so it's like kind of different. And I'm also like kind of, again, sort of going back to what I was just talking about, I'm really interested in, I don't really want to like model in the way that I've historically modeled a lot, which is like being like a blank, I don't know. I'm just canvas. Kind of like, yeah, like I'm really in a space where I want to explore like a more textured experience of like
having more say and like,
yeah, and just like being a human being and doing things that are more vulnerable. So yeah, and I mean, I've been lucky in that I've been able to work with people on projects that have been like through modeling that have been more kind of like humanistic and expressive and vulnerable. Because I like exploring those things in sort of like a performative way. So yeah, I'm kind of like working out what form that will take, but I'm kind of like over, being
someone's puppet.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's a form of expression.
Yeah.
That's totally what it sounds like. You're like, okay, I just want to, yeah, be like leading the horse.
Yes, totally. And as far as social media, I mean, I think that like I open Instagram all the fucking time, you know, and I have taken breaks from it. I took a break during quarantine for quite a while. But I have it. I'm on it often. I don't personally feel like I compare myself to others. I mean, I obviously do like in some way that maybe I'm not even aware of, but like, I don't like obsess over looking at people on, I don't know, like it doesn't really hit me that way. But I do think it's really weird, like how much we're staring at our phones and how much, I mean, this is like, obviously everyone feels this way, but like how sort of disassociated we are from the present moment. And as far as like it with modeling, I had a presence on Tumblr when I was younger, and then Instagram came out, and then I like developed this reputation or whatever on Instagram.
Notoriety.
Yes. As being kind of like an alt model, because I was like posting weird stuff, which wasn't really, well, it was just like whatever. I was just like posting whatever and not like modeling photos, which I feel like at that time most models were just posting modeling photos. So I like developed this like
persona or character.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like gained a following by doing that. And it was kind of like subversive and weird and whatever. And my agency, this was years ago, but they were like, it's great that you have an Instagram following, but like clients are really freaked out because they wanted, like, they were freaked out because I was like being weird on it. And they wanted like a puppet with no, like, that's the thing about modeling, which again I think has changed a lot now, but like it's been a process where I think, and still is the case to this day, but like there is a desire for sort of like a canvas with no interference, you know, just like a beautiful face and body to put our garment on
that can just conform to.
Yes, that's not like a messy human. And I think that like, so anyway, my agency was like, you can't do that. So then I made this alt account that was like my second account, and I still have it, but it was like weirder or whatever. And then I like cleaned up my normal account to be like more presentable and marketable to clients, which now like drives me insane, because I'm like, I just want to use the alt account because like now the normal, whatever.
Do you still do that?
I do, yeah.
You still feel like you have to like watch what you post, or
it's funny because I was actually Well, I was talking to Avery, my boyfriend, about this earlier, or yesterday, I guess, but like, I love like the archive of my alt account so much that it's I feel like at this point I could just start posting weirder stuff on the regular one, but I just like the history, like the historical grid of the alt one. So it's hard for me to like just shift gears.
You're like, it's like my diary.
Yeah, it honestly is. So, yeah, but yeah, it's interesting because like I think I'm just at a point where I'm like accepting the fact that I am like a messy human, and I don't want to continue trying to clutch at like not being that, because I am.
Or just not being yourself. Yeah, like selling this like false version of yourself.
Yeah, like I do have interference. Like I have had a life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'm meant to be a puppet at this point.
No more puppeteers.
No more.